We have disposed of the vast majority of the assets that we've seized in this case. There are a handful remaining. Certainly the defendant's primary residence on U.S. Highway 52. We are going through a process currently. In fact, any counteroffers anyone wishes to make on that property are due by this Friday, and we will evaluate those and proceed accordingly. We also have the defendant's vacation home in Florida that remains to be sold. We anticipate that going up for sale sometime in February. The defendant's jewelry, hundreds of items of jewelry, we will sell on February the 23rd in Fort Worth, Texas. Again, live, and individuals will be able to bid online.
Do you have a figure in front of you of the amount that has up to today been recouped to the city of Dixon?
The three parcels that we have awarded contracts to that exceed $3 million, those are currently in the process of going through the title commitments, the scheduling of the closings. Appraisals are being obtained by the buyers. And once those close, which are required to close within 30 to 45 days of the signing of the contracts, which occurred on December 31st, our general estimated figure of revenue is around $11 million.
That does go to the city.
That is before our costs are deducted. So,
okay.
As you will recall, we had about $1.6 million in costs in the care and management of the horses. We have had costs that have spread across a variety of assets for commissions, for appraisals, other property management type expenses. So I will have a figure, an income to expense ratio report available for the prosecutors for the scheduled sentencing on February the 14th.
Were there any surprises? I mean, obviously, the headline itself is a surprise, but, since the U.S. Marshal's involvement.
Well, this case has been unique in and of itself. Never before has the U.S. Marshal managed, for example, so many animals, so many live animals in so many geographic locations. And so that in and of itself presented us with a number of challenges, and we certainly, going into the seizure aspect, were unaware what those what the herd would generate in the way of revenue. And so, as you're very familiar, one horse generated $775,000. Others generated, less than $100. And it spread across the entire spectrum of proceeds. So, the animals in and of themselves were unpredictable in what we would generate as far as income versus what we were required to spend to care and manage for those assets. The three parcels that recently sold in Lee County, again, the defendant's ranch, vacant farmland, and farmland as well as a residence, a rental property off of Dutch Road, why the unsolicited offers that were received on those properties were $1.69 million. And when that process ended, it generated more than $3 million in proceeds. So, I think that process in and of itself generated more than we anticipated. Now, what is unique about that particular process is our traditional disposal or liquidation process for real property is to refer it to a real estate broker and sell it as the ordinary person sells his or her home. And as a result, that broker receives, on average, a 6% commission. And so when you take the $3 million plus that we receive for those properties, and if you multiplied a 6% commission by that amount, why, we saved in the sales process $180,000 that is more money than that becomes available for the victim of the crime. Additionally, the sales process required the buyers to pay all delinquent real property taxes. Those real property taxes for the three parcels exceeded $21,000. And again, $21,000 more dollars that will be available for the city of Dixon at the end of this process. In addition, the sales process required that the buyers pay all closing costs, including those customarily paid by the seller. So those have not yet been calculated, but are anticipated to be in the thousands of dollars. So, you know, just in the sale of the three parcels, and of course the defendant owns five parcels, but just in the sale of the three parcels, we anticipate we will be able to return about $250,000 more to the victim of the crime, because the U.S. Marshal did what the broker would traditionally do. It is an estimated $1 million more that we will be able to give back to the victim of the crime compared with our traditional disposal methods. Now, you may ask why we don't do that with all assets that we seize. And certainly, in this particular case, we devoted extraordinary resources, resources that we typically don't have available to dedicate to every single case that comes into our inventory. But given the nature of the crime, given the geographic area, very small community in what is otherwise the heartland of America that was victimized over so many years at such a loss, we dedicated extraordinary resources to try to recoup as much money as possible. And we employed some very unique and strategically sound methodologies, again, through the buyer's premium, by conducting the sale of the real property in-house, which then again makes more money available for the victim of the crime. Now, we knew going into this that we would very, very likely never be able to generate more than $53 million, which equates to the loss in this case. And certainly as time has progressed, that has proven to be true. Keep in mind that much of the money in this case was spent on consumables. And so when the defendant traveled, when she went on her vacations, when she fed and cared for her horses, why, there's money that is otherwise just simply not recoverable because it's a consumable that it was spent on, and it sort of has evaporated, not leaving anything tangible for us to seize and then liquidate.
When there's so many variables in this, I mean, was there a goal?
There was really no, going into the case, there was no goal that was set. Our goal, quite frankly, was to generate as much as we could while mitigating costs. And I think we did accomplish and we continue to accomplish the mitigation of costs in this case. We have done things, we continue to do things that are keeping our costs down. What did help significantly in this case was the fact that we were able to sell a number of assets. In fact, most of the assets prior to the defendant entering a plea of guilty, prior to her sentencing. You know, in the typical forfeiture case, we are not able to sell an asset until we receive a final order of forfeiture. And that final order of forfeiture does not come until after a defendant is sentenced in federal court. And so, as we're all aware, the defendant is scheduled to be sentenced February the 14th. Had the court not given us the authority to sell the assets in advance of even a guilty plea, which occurred back in November, why, the costs would have continued to mount at a significant rate, particularly when you speak about the livestock. And so, again, part of the strategy of the government was to work with the court to be able to obtain orders to sell off the assets prior to what would traditionally be the case in a federal forfeiture matter.